Interstate Batteries has been a proud supporter of the Sportsman's Nation since day one. They offer just about every battery under the sun, from car and truck batteries to batteries for your trail cameras and rangefinders. Select retail locations even offer cell phone repair and cracked screen repair. Find a local retail location at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
The Houndsman XP podcast is fueled by Joy Dog Food. Joy Dog Food has a rich tradition of supporting the Houndsman of America. Founded in 1945, Joy is proud of its history and the relationship it has built with the American Houndsman. And in 76 years, there's never been a recall. Made with 100% American-made high-quality ingredients, Joy Dog Food has one of the highest calorie-dense formulas on the market. For 76 years, this made-in-America product has kept hunting dogs in the field day after day, season after season. And when we say made-in-America, Joy has a long track record of fighting for American freedoms by being on the front lines against the animal rights movement and their extremist tactics. Joy will fuel your hounds and fight for your freedoms, fueled by Joy. This is the Houndsman XP Podcast.
Good dog, get that bird. Get that bird in here.
The original podcast for the complete Houndsman. The podcast that represents our lifestyle of extreme performance.
Get up there!
Get him! Get him! Yeah, good boy!
Good boy, Ranger!
Uniting houndsmen across the globe, from east to west, north to south.
You know, if you're going to catch a cat or a lion, you know, you have to have teamwork.
We take you to the wildest places on earth.
Yeah, so how many days a week do you spend out there?
As much as I can, to be honest with you. Any time that I get, I'm out there.
Join us for every heart-pounding adventure on Houndsman XP.
I'll tell you like I tell everyone else, I'm going to hunt whether you're here or not, so you might as well be here.
It is Thanksgiving week 2021. And this is a great time for me to run an episode that was recorded in the Hiawatha National Forest, snowshoe hare hunting with the Gingrich family, Alan, his brother John, and his stepson Samuel. My brother and I were invited to come up and spend a few days with them in their remote camp in the Hiawatha National Forest, UP of Michigan. And man, what a great time. And the reason it's timely for me is because rabbit hunting on Thanksgiving for my family growing up was a tradition. Every year, my brother Matt, who is 13 months younger than I am, always kept beagles. I kept the coonhounds, but he kept the beagles. And I can't remember if it was prior to or after. It's probably prior to dinner. We would go out and rabbit hunt around the house. And you're going to hear a little bit of those stories and things like that. But mainly we're going to talk about hares and the style of beagles that it takes to be effective hare hunting in those thick north woods. Man, I'm telling you, it is thick. The spruce and the evergreens and everything grows up about 6 inches apart. And the amazing thing is Matt has only hunted cottontails with beagles, so it was a new experience for him, and you're going to get his reactions, and you're going to hear from Alan and Johnny about the style of beagles that they hunt. I think you're really going to enjoy it. We did record this very remotely, and it was just it was a challenge, but I think you're going to enjoy this podcast. I do want to give a shout out to Alan and his family for hosting this. We had great food, great time. But check out Ging 4 Products, and that is the home of the PackaCharge. And they are manufacturing a system for you to charge all of your collars, your tracking units, whether it be Dogtra or Garmin. If you're tired of messing with 10 cords to charge your equipment, the PackaCharge is all nicely packaged together. One cord plugs into the wall, and you can charge everything you've got. You got to check them out. Look for Ging 4 PackaCharge from the Gingriches. I just want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving this week. Safe travels from Houndsman XP. We are only going to drop one episode this week. We normally drop on Mondays and Thursdays, but Thursday is Thanksgiving. And I encourage you to go back and listen to some of the other episodes that we've done. Listen to some of your favorites again. And have a happy Thanksgiving. It's a great, great time to be alive, the fall. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and I want you to have a great holiday with your family and friends. Guys, the Beagles are rocking the Old South Dog Box. There's a hare to be chased. It's time to dump the box. Southern Hound Hunting Magazine is the most comprehensive magazine that represents your lifestyle as a houndsman. If you can hunt it with a hound, it is being covered in the pages of Southern Hound Hunting Magazine. You also get an in-depth look at the men and women who are engaged in this lifestyle, living it every day to the fullest. From the Rocky Mountains to the Southern Swamps and across the ocean, with articles about our international houndsmen and what they're chasing across the pond. Go to southernhoundhunting.com. Get your subscription for $15 a year. Southern Hound Hunting Magazine, promoting the fair chase experience.
I've got a couple times during the night, and the North Star's been hanging right here. It starts out there, and it comes around and hangs up over here.
Last night, or I should say this morning when I woke up, it was bright out.
Yeah.
It was so bright.
I've walked there back there a couple times without a light on.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're going to talk, you're going to have to talk louder.
Okay.
Just so you know. And it's not just for my ears, it's for what this isn't picking up.
I don't figure I have much to offer unless you want to talk about how not to shoot a rabbit.
We're definitely going to talk about how to not shoot a rabbit. I promise you that. So, we are live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. 2021 at the, what do we call this thing, Alan?
I don't know. We can call it whatever we want to. It's like the annual little hare camp hunt deal on, what is it?
In the Hiawatha.
Hiawatha, that's it.
What it is. Yeah. The Hiawatha Hare Adventure 2021.
There you go.
Yep. How many years have you guys been coming up here?
Oh, man. We've been coming up here for a bunch of years. I'm going to say probably the better part of 10 years now that we've been coming to this area.
At least 10 years up here, yep.
We used to hunt below the bridge, you know, before that, but in the last 10 years we've come up here to...
Well, you guys grew up below the bridge.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Little town called Mayo.
Down by Mayo.
What is it, John, about 2 hours south of here, maybe?
Yeah, about an hour and a half from the bridge, about two hours, yep.
So we got... Let's do some introductions. To my right, I've got Johnny Gingrich.
Yep.
And then... I'm happy to have my brother with me, Matt. And we got Samuel.
That's my stepson, yep.
Samuel. Yep. And once again, how many times have you been on this podcast? We're going to have to give you frequent flyer miles or something.
Yes.
How many times? Is this four?
I don't know.
at least three, I think.
It's three or four.
We did one last year.
Yeah, we did one on the road home last year.
We did.
Yeah.
Stopped at the gas station, filled up with gas, and I could jump back in to drive home, and you've got the headphones out, and you said we're doing a podcast. So that's what we did.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I just kind of want to get everybody's their reflections on being up here in the UP and hunting and stuff like that. But since you, Johnny, since you and Alan are old hats at this, I'd like to get Matt's impression of being up here.
Yeah, it's fast and furious compared to cottontails, for sure. They're harder to kill.
Yeah, yeah. How many times you shoot today to kill one hair?
33%. I already did the math. You can shoot at a cottontail and not hit it and kill it, though. Mm-hmm. But you can't scare a hair to death, I don't think.
Yeah. So the reason I really wanted to bring you up here is because of how much fun I had last year. Matt and I grew up in rural Indiana and between coon dogs, but Matt always had beagles and he always liked his beagles. And I mean, we wore those beagles out in that little weed patch, wooded area behind our house and all along the creek and everything for years.
Mostly creeks, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
Fence lines and creeks.
Yep. Yep, and I don't know that we ever had. Sally was a good little beagle. How would you describe her?
Fat and slow compared to these dogs. These dogs are tall and fast.
So how many did you keep back then? Did you have several or just a couple or what?
She was the main one, and then I think somebody gave me a taller dog named Barney.
Yeah, I did.
He was pretty good.
I got him from that family up by Edinburgh, Barney.
Yeah, he was weird. He could climb really well, but you couldn't get close to him. You'd have to just put the tailgate down. He'd get in, he'd go hunt. He didn't want to be touched.
Yeah.
But I think at one time you had four. I mean, with Barney.
She had a litter of pups from a stray dog.
Something. And they were action-packed.
They were more like bloodthirsty rabid dogs. they were fast.
Yeah, it's just one of those deals. It's like, I remember when, you know, I don't know how many years we have Thanksgiving dinner at our house, and one of the highlights after Thanksgiving dinner was taking your beagles and going on a rabbit hunt. We saw all kinds of crazy stuff with Uncle Steve. Remember him wearing those cowboy boots on that snow? It snowed that year. He's wearing cowboy boots, and he's shooting Mom's Browning 22 rifle.
Well, I was part of it. Thanksgiving dinner and hunting rabbits.
Nobody wore Hunter Orange. It's a good thing the game warden didn't come around. We'd all got hooked up, got tickets for something.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you guys how do you guys get into beagles, Johnny?
Well, we've just always been around it, and they're in Mayo and stuff. It was kind of, we hunted with guys that had beagles. I don't know that we had our own really. Did we had a few? I guess we had some of our own, and then we always got we always went with a few of the old timers from around town, and they kind of taught us the ropes and. I don't know, it just kind of went from there. I just remember we always hunted and, you know, after chores or whatever there on the farm, we'd just go out back and we'd run some cottontail, but we'd run a lot of hair right there on the farm we grew up on.
You had hair all the way up in the...
Yeah.
Below the bridge.
Yeah. Close to the Ausable River down there. And then I moved to Ohio about, 95, I guess it was, and... got down there, and there was a lot of cottontail down there, a lot of beagles, a lot of good cottontail beagles, but I remember the first snow come around, you know, and they put the dogs up. They said, you can't run in the snow. Well, I knew you could run in the snow because that's the only time we hunted was in the snow. snow and cold up north. So, yeah. So I don't know. We just had a lot of fun running cottontails and stuff in Ohio, but just had a hankering always to go back up north and run nose hair. And that's kind of why we started coming up here. So, yeah.
You guys have been making this a family, like a family deal. You guys wouldn't even allow us to come up the first weekend because it was like exclusively family for the Gingriches.
Didn't even show up this year. Right.
Nobody but Gingrich is allowed in the Hiawatha.
No, we wanted to make sure we had enough room for everybody, you know, and we were going to be up here for, I tried to make it a 10-day deal with John here, but we're going to make it about 7 or 8, I guess, so that's good enough, but. Johnny's talking about he doesn't remember us or us having beagles back home, but not to date myself, but he was quite a bit younger than I. But Paul and I used to have a couple when we were, you know, when we were kids there. And I don't know. See, I left. I don't know how old you would have been, so you may not even really remember that some of those dogs that we had.
Well, remember
back
we
then.
Had a few, didn't Uncle Sam have a dog or two or something?
Yeah, But yeah, probably the same place you used to find hair, you know, after we were gone was back there in that little that little corner of the property there in the northeast corner there.
Yep.
There and then on over to the neighbors, but yeah, just like you know, for Paul and I, or at least for me, we loved it when we'd get on a hair.
That was basically just on the back 40.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about coming up here, I mean, we've talked about it all day, but, you know, people are like, oh, you guys are going up to the UP. What are you going up there for? We're going to go up and, you know, we're going to hunt hares. Like, you're going to go all the way up there to hunt rabbits? And they're not rabbits, are they, Alan?
No, they're not rabbits.
What are they?
They're hares. They're snowshoe hares.
It's snowshoe hares.
It's not the same thing, Chris. It's two different things, two different species.
Yeah, you can't call it a rabbit around here, right?
No, no.
I got corrected all night last night. No rabbits. But the thing for me coming up here is, I mean, just listen. There's nothing. I mean, there's no jets flying over. There's no noise pollution. There's no light pollution. And you can just drive down the road, and when you find good rabbitat, you just pull over and dump the dogs out, and you don't worry about it. And that's something that you don't get this side of the Mississippi River very many places.
Yeah, there's just not many places left where you can, like, a do-it-yourself type of hunt, you know. But you can up here in the Hiawatha if you know what to look for, you know, the snowshoe habitat. Man, we love it up here. That's why we come up here every year. We just have a blast. You know, this time of the year, we're here on the third week in October, so there's no snow on the ground yet. But it's they just started turning color, but it's just a great time. Oftentimes, the running is just excellent this time of the year. We've had good running this week, all week, except for yesterday. We had some sunshine. Most of the time it's been overcast, had a little bit of drizzle, rain, and everything, mostly overcast. Yesterday we had some sunshine, a little bit of wind, and we struggled a little bit. But other than that, man, it's generally this time of the year is just a good time to come up here.
Yeah. It's nice to have a half a dozen dogs or whatever so we don't wear them out and on the first day or whatever. We kind of trade off. And
I'll tell you what, after yesterday, I looked over at Matt. We'd been out there all afternoon, and I was thinking, holy crap, you know, he's going to think we drove 9 hours yesterday for this. And did you think that?
No, it's all about the experience of being up here. This is a fantastic place to visit, hunt, and just get outdoors.
You got the camp set up, and you know, it's just cool. It's cool. So I do want to talk a little bit about, drill down into this concept of the difference between a cottontail dog and a hair dog, you know, because Johnny, you've said several times that your dogs are a little more hair, you know, hair bred type beagles. And what does that mean?
Well, the first thing I think about when I think about a hair dog is stamina, a dog that can just get out there and go. I mean, we're not talking about just briars. We're talking about covering some ground and, you know, looking for these hair and then being able to hang with one, not just a couple squiggly 100, 250 yards. We're talking about miles, you know, through these cedar swamps and all that kind of stuff. And it takes a little special dog. It takes a gritty dog to hang in there. We don't have to be really flashy, but they just need to, it's a little different line, you know. And I like a big dog. Traditionally, you know, if there's snow on the ground or whatever, you need something that can navigate through that and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's dogs that are bred for that are more bred for hair. And a lot of dogs will do both, actually. You'll bring cottontail dogs up here. They'll do fine, most of them. They don't all, but most of them do. So you can kind of do both with them. But I kind of tend to lean towards the hair-bred dogs.
So, but have you got hair there in Holmes County?
No.
But nope. So you're running them on cottontail most of the time, right?
On cottontail there, yep. Mm-hmm.
And do they do good on cottontail?
They do very good, yeah, sure, yeah.
Briar Creek Kennels is your complete hound hunting outfitter. Boots, lights, collars, and tracking equipment. Dog boxes, kennel supplies, collars, clothes, squalors. Whew! They have it all. Briar Creek Kennel is a Garmin and Dogtra dealer. Owner Chris Girth will ensure Briar Creek Kennel customers will get top of the industry customer service. Whether you purchase from their website or you find them at a major coonhound event, Chris and his staff will share expert knowledge and experience about every product they offer. Chris Girth is a top competitor and breeder of hounds. He knows what gear you need to be successful. Look for Briar Creek Kennels on the web for a complete online store or look at their fully stocked trailer at any major coonhound event. Briar Creek Kennels, offering a hound hunting public generations of excellence. Check out Dogs Are Treed at dogsaretreed.com. Leashes, tie-outs, medical kits, paws are protected, and Dogs Are Hydrated, cutting-edge, high-quality gear for you, the houndsman. Gear designed for houndsmen by houndsmen with the highest level of craftsmanship available. Dogs Are Treed is also the exclusive dealer for Houndsman XP podcast logo wear. We're working on our line over there, but we just dropped some new hats at Dogs Are Treed, and you can see them on our page at dogsaretreed.com. And don't forget at checkout, enter the code HXP 20% off, all capital letters, and you will get 20% off of your entire order. Find them today at dogsaretreed at dogsaretreed.com.
So I was trialing a hair dog at a field trial in close to home. And there was a big snowstorm, dumped a foot of snow that morning. And I think there was, I don't know, out of 40-some dogs, she was the only dog that come in with any kind of points. The only dog that come in with points,
and
I
what
think.
Why? Why? What's the difference
between? Snow, whatever, just kind of, I don't know, just kind of.
Right in her wheelhouse.
Yeah, it was more, she knew what to do.
Yeah. Well, describe the difference. For people in the difference, describe the difference between a cottontail will run and a hair will run. I don't think people really, if you're just like for us coming from southern Indiana and growing up hunting cottontails, and then you get up here and you listen to a hair race, it's crazy different.
Yeah, so back home, you know, we always look for growed up farmsteads and you know fence rows and weeds and that kind of thing or whatever, and you get up into this north country and it looks a little desolate, and they got these big, you know, swamps and wooded areas or whatever, and it just kind of sort of looks like there's nothing there or whatever, and you turn these dogs loose and they come out with these hair, you know. They just I don't know, it's just a whole different deal, I guess. It's a kind of the same type of, I mean, if you like cottontail hunting and love to hear dogs run, you'll like this hare thing, but it's kind of same, but it's a lot different. You might have one or two hare in a day. That's all you need. If they run good, that's all you need to last for a whole day. Where cottontail, you might need a 3 or 4 or 6 or 8 or whatever, you know, and they go to a hole, and these hare will not go to a hole. That's one of the big differences. They might go to into some of these blowdowns and give the dogs a rough time, but they will not go into a hole and just stay there. I mean, they'll hide, they'll climb into branches and roots and that kind of thing, but they won't go to ground. They won't dig a hole and go to ground or whatever. So
when you say they'll climb on branches, you're talking about they're climbing trees or they climbing over blowdowns?
Just blowdowns and that kind of stuff. They'll climb up in, you know, and the dogs will be underneath looking for them or whatever. Unless they get up in there, they probably won't find them.
Yeah.
There's not many loses, but there's some. Every once in a while, there's some loses. So.
Scaling rocks and, I mean, just doing crazy stuff that these snowshoes do.
Yeah.
But, Matt, what's one of the biggest things you've seen different between running cottontails at home and then first time experience coming in up here and watching these hare run?
Well, you kind of trade briar patches and fence rows and hardwood trees for like Johnny was talking about, swamp areas and really dense fir and pine cedar thickets, where 15 yards is a long way to have, you know, a visual, where at home you can see 50 to 75 yards a lot of times.
Yeah. What about the length of the races? That's the thing that create. How long we run that rabbit this or I'm sorry, hare. I'm sorry, Al.
That's hare.
How long did we run the hare this afternoon?
Right.
I think it was around 2 hours, but the interesting thing to me is at one point the dog was so far away from us that couldn't hear it anymore. And I've really never experienced that with cottontails. Usually they'll run out about 100 yards or so and come back around.
When you don't hear them, you're thinking off game, right?
Correct. That's right. Yeah.
That's only if you're hunting trashy plots.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, I've thought about it a couple times. It's like they're taking something out there, and I'm thinking, that's not a rabbit. That's got to be something a lot longer leg. And then they bring it back around, and they're crossing the trail with air. They took off on that one, and we thought it was they actually switched tracks. You said it, but they bring it. You saw the hare cross a road. The dogs cross right there. They get in there and they jump it again, and then Matt ended up shooting it, you know, and killing it on his fifth shot.
Yep. I think he's exaggerating. I think it was only four. Wasn't
it was five. No, it was five. You know it was. Don't try to be nice now just because he can.
We want him to come back next year.
Yeah.
It is so much fun, though. This afternoon, just like that place we were at this afternoon, just running that same hare, like Johnny said, or Matt, too. You know, they'll run it for a couple hours like that. And it's just a whole lot different than cottontail, really. You know, it's kind of the same, but it's totally different. Whoever said that, you know, it's hard sometimes to, they're not as predictable. You know, a cottontail is a lot more predictable, making a circle and coming back to where they jumped it a lot of times and not that far from it. Whereas a hare, you never know what they're going to do. They may make a big old loop, make big old circles, or go out straight line, come back and kind of weave and wind around and do all kinds of things. They're just unpredictable. That's one of the things I think makes it so exciting to go after them.
Yeah. I mean, one time you think, okay, this is the time they're going to bring it right back through here, and that hare has taken them on a ride for 700 or 800 yards through a swamp. I mean, it's crazy, for sure. So let's talk about the differences between like a hare dog and a cottontail dog. What's the main difference that you have seen when you're talking about a dog that's bred for hare? What's different about that dog than a cottontail dog?
I think Johnny kind of covered it a little bit, and I would agree. You know, a lot of it is stamina, and the stamina is not just to run, be able to run for a couple of hours, but all day long, really. You know, and you got to have the dogs in shape, but they also got to have that drive and that want to run all day long. You know, a dog that's going to get bored by running is probably not going to make a good hair dog. You know,
have you seen dogs that would be bored from running?
Probably so, yeah. I've seen dogs that just kind of have that quit in them. It just seems a lot of hair hound dogs. You talk about dogs that are bred, hair hound dogs bred. A lot of them are just simply bred with more grit, more desire, probably, than maybe some of your other rabbit dogs might be.
I never thought about it like that, but a dog
gets... And it's all about the purpose. Well, you know what you need them for. And hair, you got to have it.
Yeah.
You got to have it.
I never thought about that like that. A dog gets bored from running. You know, when a dog comes out, you think they're tired, mm-hmm. or you think they're something like that. But I think there's probably something to that. It's like, man, I've been running this rabbit for 2 hours, and I'm just kind of tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I love when you hear at night here, we've got the truck sitting around here. We've got dogs out here. We've got some boxes over here with some dogs in it. We don't hear much movement at all. And the only thing you hear is dogs out here snoring right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're ready to go first thing in the morning.
They do get wore out.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to hear from Johnny here in a little bit, too. How many miles you put on today, Johnny?
Whew, I don't know. A couple, three, four, five.
He's not talking about his dogs either.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Get in and out of a couple of them swamps, getting a couple of dogs out. Man, oh, man.
You showed me one picture of some place you went into.
Yeah.
And I asked you if you were taking a picture of the ground.
Yeah.
No, that was straight ahead.
Yeah, it was straight ahead, yeah.
I mean, it was solid, blocked off, crazy.
Yeah,
sometimes these dogs will show you where these rabbits go to hide. You know, it's in
hair,
some of the
Johnny, hair.
Hair.
It's hair.
They go in there. They go into these swamps. It seems like that's what they got to have, a swamp close by to sort of exist a little bit. And I think that's another big difference in these cottontail dogs and these hair dogs is there's a lot of different types of you know, water and dirt and roots and
mm-hmm.
leaves and all
terrain changes.
A lot of different terrain changes,
yeah.
And stuff. Yeah, more than just a fence row or briars and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's pretty consistent. Not taking away anything from cottontail hunters, but
absolutely not.
You know, it's just
a different.
Yeah,
yep.
Just different.
A little more consistent ground when you're hunting cottontails. But I guess if you took a hair dog up here and you ran him in this every day, it'd be consistent.
Yeah.
You know, it would be.
I'm going to say a lot of your hair dogs are probably going to get away with having a little more foot, a little more speed or whatever, because they can kind of pick up their head and go with it, you know, in a straight line.
As a matter of fact, they have to.
Yeah.
A good hair dog is not probably, they got to lift their head and go.
If you don't keep a little pressure on them, hair will be able to.
Yeah.
Hide on them somewhere in these swamps.
I think one of the things that amazed me was, like, you guys always let a hair come through a couple times before we get serious about, you know, picking up the gun. But you would see, the hair cross a minute before the dogs came through sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time they bring it back, they'd be 10 yards or, you know, they'd be right on it.
Yeah.
And to think that they can go out there and make up that kind of ground,
mm-hmm.
and bring that hair back around to you, that was impressive.
Yeah,
because sometimes they're a couple, 300-400 yards away. Next thing you know, they're right here in front of you trying to cross the road with
them. And it happens quick.
Yeah.
You know, you hear them coming, and who said it? Somebody said, if you're not ready, then you got to be ready to shoot. You're too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Samuel's been working on a shooting stick.
That shooting stick caused me a rabbit, actually, or a hare, I should say.
Yeah, yep.
I had the audacity to try and move up a street with it. And right as I'm moving up, I got the gun up, and Right, I was about to start setting up that hare across the street, and it was just that second was too late.
Right, right. Yeah, you got the notch cut in the top of the stick, and he's sitting there resting the shotgun on the stick, and I'm thinking, what is he's using shooting sticks for hare? And but he's ready. You know, he's getting ready to pull the trigger.
Hey, he's put some meat in the freezer this week.
Dakota 283 offers you unparalleled protection for your hounds. We're talking about military grade kennel crates. I got one of these two-door kennel crates here at the house. It is super heavy duty. It's got slap latches on it that are stainless steel. Easily fits in the back of an SUV, or if you're traveling with a camper shell, it's a great way to keep your dog protected while you are traveling. You just got to check out their Dash series. This is a watering system, and I've used a lot of these portable waterers over the years, but this system is all integrated into one unit, and the way it's designed out of high impact plastic, the water stays in the tank when you're not using it because you can put a plug in it. Check them out. The 3.5 is also compact enough that I can store it behind the seat of my pickup truck while I'm out hunting when it's super cold. I've had exterior tanks before, and as soon as I go to cold climates, then I've got to figure out how I'm going to get water to my hounds, and the Dash takes care of that. So check out Dakota 283 at Dakota283.com, and at checkout, enter the code HXP10 and get 10% off of your order. Houndsman XP is very proud of our partnership with the organization Freedom Hunters. Freedom Hunters is a nonprofit organization that takes America's veterans hunting from field to field, from the battlefield to a field near you when you volunteer your time to take America's warriors hunting with you and your hounds. It's easy. Go to houndsmanxp.com, click on the partnership tab, and it will take you to Freedom Hunters. You can go direct to their website to make donations at freedomhunters.org. Support America's heroes. Let's pay it back. Visit Freedom Hunters at freedomhunters.org or go to houndsmanxp.com. And you can find them on our website, From Field to Field.
You know, the one thing, you're talking about the difference between cottontail and hare. You know, to use these Garmins, and you can watch on the tracks on your map. We showed you guys that, Matt. We showed some of that to you. You know, just the difference. But they just plaster that. You know, it's not just a racetrack. They have got the whole area. After a couple mm-hmm. hours, it's amazing how they can just track up everywhere.
They painted the whole section.
Oh, man.
You know, normally, like, if you're bear hunting or you're coon hunting or something like that, they can go in there and scribble a dot if they're blue ticking around in there and stuff. But, man, after you run a hare for 2 hours.
That's another element that is tough on dogs, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to, you know, they make a loop out and come back into maybe an area where they've run around and tracked up. Take it back out, come back in. The more times they come back into this area, and a lot of times those hare just love doing that, you know, get into that certain area, and you look on your Garmin how they've got it tracked up. It's pretty amazing what those dogs can do to some of them are just better at it than others, you know, after a little while, you know, to keep that track going like that. But that's something you don't really run into cottontail hunting. Not like this.
Yeah, because, you know, first or second pass, and they make a pass, and you're gunning the rabbit at that mm-hmm. point. So mm-hmm. we can call those rabbits. Yeah. All right. So how do you put together a pack of hare dogs? Because I mean, are all your dogs consistently running same speed, or do you have swing dogs, or do you have some dogs that are a little bit slower that'll pick up a loose? You know, how do you guys construct a pack? Because I've heard you talk about the A team.
We have an A team and a B team.
Yeah, right? The A team and the B team.
You know, so, I mean, you got to put a little planning in it, especially if you're at it for a couple of days, because you can ruin it in a day if you don't have the right dogs put together or whatever. You know, you have to have your dogs that kind of run together, run the same speed or do the same thing or whatever. You know, you kind of run those together, and you just you can't run them out all day usually, because sometimes you'll get 25 miles a day, and that's just too much for these dogs day after day after day. So we have a couple of packs we put together, you know, and depends on the area we hunt in and all that. And I don't know, Alan, you spend a lot of time planning.
Yeah, there's a couple elements that you want to look for. One is we're not walking these dogs out through to hunt for a hare.
You can't.
They got to do it. We're not going to walk them out across a field or you know, down this fence row or what have you. You know, they got to go hunt for these. So that's one of the – we got to have dogs that go out and hunt. So we're talking about putting packs together. And we really don't. Most of the dogs that we have will go out and hunt on their own. Don't need to be – but that's one thing that's a little bit different. You know, cottontail hunting, one of the things you do want your dogs to hunt with you. You know, and that's true in cottontail hunting. You want them to hunt with you and handle like that. Up here, you get it. You want to have a dog that goes out, and sometimes they have to go out. You know, it's nothing for them to have to go out 200, 300, 400, 500 yards to go jump a hare.
Yeah.
So they have to hunt. They have to have that desire to. So when you put packs together, that's one of the elements we want to make sure we have a dog in a pack or a couple dogs that are going to go do that.
You range
know,
out.
If they're not going to range out, we're probably not going to get a hare up. Then the other thing for me too is always kind of speed and is kind of foot. You know, sometimes we'll have some dogs that are just footier than others, and if you run a slower dog with a couple of footier dogs, why the slower dog is just not going to contribute much. You know, and you're better served, I think. And that's one thing I like to watch for a little bit.
Well, they pick up loses though. I mean, because a fast dog can overrun tracks.
Sure,
and
absolutely, they'll do that. But otherwise, you know, sometimes it just works better, I think, you know, to have more so on hare than because if you have a fast dog, really fast dog, they can stretch them out pretty quickly. We have one. Johnny has one that he's running up here this week. That is, he'll laugh if I say that. But I noticed the first day already, man. He's gonna stretch a couple of my females out pretty good. It's just the way he is, you know. He'll stretch them out, and I think we have the one female I brought up here. She's an excellent dog, you know, and so she's better served to serve the whole pack well if she's in a pack that is more her speed.
And you're talking about Fiddle?
No, I'm not talking. She's not Fiddle. I'm talking about Dottie.
I like Fiddle.
Yeah. Fiddle's like just Fiddle. We overfed her a little too much before. I don't know what happened, Sam. Right. I've been on the road for 7 weeks in a row, and we brought Fatty along up here.
You told me half a scoop. I gave her half a scoop.
Yeah, well, it seemed like every time the pack come across the driveway somewhere or whatever, the last one in line, there's Fiddle, and she'd almost stop and look at us.
Yeah, Fiddle. Keep on going. Yeah. Fiddle's doing her own thing. I like Fiddle.
No, but that's just one of the differences that I look for. You know, when you switch up packs, you know, in the middle of the day, or you kind of split them up a little bit. We talk about running dogs all day long. We'll have some that will run all day, and we do sometimes. But
ran all day today.
Yeah, on this trip, we tried to kind of for the most part split them up a little bit, a couple packs a day. So you got to kind of watch some of those.
But if you get that freak of nature, that phenomenal fast can really put pressure on a hare, and you don't have other dogs to go with him, how does that affect your hunt? I mean, there's got to be phenoms within the beagle community, you know, that just know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are, all your dogs, when they cross that line or when they come across the road, there's not much space between them, and you guys have figured out how to manage that a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what I like to see. I like to. I think last year when you and I were up here, you asked me the question, "What's the one of the things I want every dog? What do I look for a dog to be in the pack?" And I think I probably told you, contribute. I want to see every one of them contribute in some way. If you have dogs in there that just do everything and they have no chance or no opportunity to contribute at all, They're not doing much good, mm-hmm. really. And sometimes you have a dog that can do that, but if they don't get that opportunity, you know, there's always a faster dog, always mm-hmm. there first, this, that.
And they're going to have to pick up their head and kind of go with the pack.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, there's no sense in hanging back or whatever. We need to pick their heads up and move out, I guess.
The other thing I think that happens sometimes if you run, now we're talking running hours here. Mm-hmm. One of the differences, and is if you have a dog that is just slower than if you have them in with faster dogs, sometimes you'll get dogs that just finally get tired mm-hmm. and sick of that, get a little jealous maybe, and they will just want to split off and go mm-hmm. run their own. You don't want that to happen. And that will sometimes. You see that sometimes if you can't keep up, and they will eventually just go split off. And that's not really a good thing.
You know, turn hair hunting into hound hunting at that point. Yeah.
Exactly.
Trying to round up hounds and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you, I had a line of question I was going to ask you there about the types of hounds, but I think you guys pretty much covered it on that part. You guys are getting good at this, Alan.
Well, I love it. I'm telling you, you know, it's
this podcasting thing. You're getting good at podcasting.
I don't know about that, but this is just I love hunting with a lot of different dogs. You know, I love coon hunting, this and that, you know, but for me, with my work schedule and everything, the month of September is always full, every weekend thing, 6-7 weekends working with my job. And then this week in October, being able to get away for a week and doing something I've done since I was a kid, man, this is it for me. This is my passion, kind of get away from it all. And it makes it even better to be here with my brothers and family. Really is.
Yeah.
Makes it good. Well, and then also to have other friends come up and share some of the same, have some fun with it. Just like it's good for you to bring your brother Matt up here. Good to meet him and hope he's had fun too.
No, I've had a blast.
Mm-hmm. You know, having the fires goes really well with hair hunting and stuff because, you know, we spend a lot of time standing around waiting on them dogs to come back from 500-600 yards out or whatever. Sometimes not, you know. Yeah. So there's always, you know, you got to have a fire, got to have some chairs, you got to have, anybody can do this. If you can sit in a chair, you can hunt hare, I think, really.
I'm way less tired hunting hare than I ever was hunting cottontail. Oh, yeah.
I mean, so the guys at camp, they get just as many shots, as opportunities as the guys out there in the bush, you know.
That's a cool thing. Like, this camp. We turned dogs loose from here this morning. I mean, we're sitting here eating bacon and eggs and, you know, drinking coffee, and the dogs are already, they've already got a hare running. And
that's cool, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's really cool.
Your eggs never tasted so good.
Oh, yeah. sitting in chairs out here on the road, mm-hmm. listening to swing this hare 300 or 400 yards out in this place that has no noise pollution, so you can hear them forever. Well, most people can't. I can't. But a person with decent hearing can hear them.
Yeah, you talked about how quiet it is. So last night on the way back to camp, we were at a different area. So we dropped Johnny off and with a couple dogs a mile and a half up the road. Well, it's kind of a caddy for a corner from here. A mile. It's a good, maybe not quite a mile and a half from here.
Yeah.
We came back here to camp, turned some dogs loose here, and got on a hare right away before his did, actually. And his dogs hear ours and can hear them from there, mm-hmm. and we've got one of his makes its way over this way.
Yeah.
That's over a mile away, so you talk about quiet around mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing area, amazing time, and I'm grateful that you invited me to come up here because I got to tell you, the first time you're like, man, you ought to come up to the UP and run hare with me. I'm thinking, man, drive 9 hours to chase a rabbit. And then I got up here and I did it. And I was like, wow, this is cool. You know, just just the idea of, like you said, Johnny, about having a campfire. I don't think we stop anywhere without somebody, especially in the morning, without somebody building a campfire, getting ready, and then we're cooking hamburgers on the grill for lunch, and
that's out in the field wherever we are.
Yeah wherever we're mm-hmm. at, and it's not a blood sport type thing. It's like, you know, that those dogs have brought that hair around here. This is going to be the third pass. Somebody probably ought to maybe spread out. You guys spread out along this trail here, and we'll try to go ahead and end this one. So yeah. Catch dogs or shoot
on the trail,
the
because
hair.
That's the only place you can see to shoot.
Yeah, that's the truth.
A lot of these places are too thick to even shoot, you know?
Yeah.
You got a little lane a couple feet long, you're lucky.
So I think it'd be good when we talk about how thick it is and stuff. What happened to you today, Matt, when you got off the trail back there?
Oh, you talking about the 300... foot circle I walked in? Perfect. Need a compass or a GPS if you're going to go far off the trail around here.
No landmarks. It's all
flat. No. It's just so daggone thick, and I did the same thing last year. There aren't any landmarks, really. I mean, you're talking 10-foot visibility in a lot of places. Well, and
you're walking and trying to keep sticks out of your eyes and pine needles out of your shirt, and next thing you know, you walked in a 300-foot circle.
I don't even know how you realized that. Did you look at your GPS and realize you did that? Or
I saw the same deadfall that I saw the first time I walked by it. So time to adjust my bearing a little bit.
And then you're thinking, there's no way. There's no way I just walked by that. And then you check your GPS. It's like, wow. I just walked a circle. I only heard about that, or only read about that in books, you know.
And then there's Samuel with his nice new walking stick. He drops it 100 yards back when we caught dogs, and he was seriously thinking about just leaving it there rather than walking back 100 yards to get it.
100 yards doesn't sound like much, but oh my gosh, it's so thick. You've got to fight through every step.
Well, last year, that same place where Matt walked that circle, and you did this to me on purpose. We had that hair running back in there, and you said, "Hey,
I
don't
know what you're gonna say, but I'm not gonna." You walked right into it.
Why don't you go back there and see if you can turn those dogs this way? And it's like, "Yep, I got another one to go back in that stuff and do that." And it was starting to get dark, and I was kind of like, "Wow, I've seen Hunter Ed videos how this ends." You know, some crazy man lost and disoriented and dies of hypothermia in the bush in Upper Michigan. So, yeah, buddy. Yep. Crazy stuff. Well, I'll tell you what. You guys got anything, final thoughts? I think we'll wrap this up. I'll tell you what. I thank you guys for inviting us to come up. It's really cool. It's really cool. It's really relaxing to come and hunt, and you guys are putting in all the hard work with dogs and feeding dogs and different stuff like that, and I appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate it.
You coming.
You guys brought some good food. Turns out you guys are both good cooks, so we appreciated the dinner you cooked up.
We like to eat.
Heck yeah. Well, so do we.
Yep. Yep. We're good. Well, guys, appreciate it. And like always, until next time, you follow your hounds, I'll follow mine.